Greetings to the congregation. It's good to see all of you worship this morning, and Jill and also Randy are with us today. May God bless all of you. And God bless all those who are worshiping online at home. The title of the message is A Safe Refuge. A blessing, as Solomon, that God appeared to Solomon in a dream and gave Solomon a surprise. That is, whatever you ask, I will do it for you. Maybe this is something Jesus Christ has also asked in John chapter 14, verse 3. Whatever you ask in my name, I will give it to you, so that the Father can be glorified in the Son. There's a young person received this verse literally. Everything that I, in the name of Jesus, ask, God will give it to me. He so have this in his heart. And every night he prayed, Dear God, according to your word, your promise, whatever I ask in your name, you will do it for me. Oh God, can you get me a Corvette, a red Corvette, with all the bells and whistles in the car? He prayed for a long time, but nothing came of it. And he took this to his pastor. Yeah, well, is this something you have taught me? Yes, the pastor said. Is this what God has given this word here? Pastor said, yes. So I asked for a Corvette, and it's been a long time. I haven't got it yet. Is this an empty promise? And the pastor said, no. God would never do that. Whatever God promised, he would deliver. So, and I asked God, and I didn't get it. What the pastor asked, whatever you ask in my name, I would do it. I have asked in the name of Jesus for a Corvette, but I did not get it. And the pastor said, maybe you only understand half of the promise, the rest you have to, whatever you ask, I will do it. The rest is that you didn't guess, so that the name of God will be glorified in the Son. What does that mean? And the pastor said, so for make it easy, I will do it in the end of the week. In my name, whatever you ask, so that the Father's name be glory in the Son, I will do it for you. The issue of ourselves is that, do we understand the promise that God has given us? This young person understand that we ask something, whatever it is, in his name, but he forgot something important. God can only do only when what we ask for is glorify the Father in the Son. So today we will think about all the experience and promise. How do we get all those promises fulfillment? If we only you understand part of the word of the Lord, maybe we will be disappointed in our asking and not receiving. Let's all pray for guidance. Dear our Heavenly Father, we thank you because the Word is the truth for our life. Without God's Word guiding us, we cannot live as a Christian. We will not be glorifying you. We thank you for gathering us here to hear your word, to turn our heart this time to hear the message. Anything that is still preventing us, that we could not experience the wonderful in your word, please correct these misunderstanding of us. We lift everybody in this time, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The key verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Each one has a particular faith, but our faith is firm to the end or not, so that we wouldn't be blameless at the end. How we can have of this kind of firm at the end, we will stand blameless in the day of the present. Many will come and ask, I have called on your name, in your name, to do many things. But at the end, Jesus said, I do not know you. If we're not careful, we don't pay attention. Maybe we are someone who tries to say, I do not know you. And so, what our effort has been wasted because we did not understand the promise. So you and I would think about Solomon in the first few days on the throne. Solomon has been promised. God said, whatever you want, I will do it for you. And Solomon expressed his heart for God, so that God has received his prayer, that God has given him more than what he asked for. Dear congregation, Solomon means a peaceful life, a peaceful life. Solomon, in verse 3, he is show love for the Lord and walk according to the instruction given him by his father David. Solomon had experienced, I thought, that may be very special, many other kings. This is the first time God appeared to Solomon in a dream to talk to Solomon. Solomon is the third king. The first king is Saul that did not obey the law. So God established the second king is David. David reigned 33 years at Hebron, 7 Ezra, and 32 years at Jerusalem. And now David gives his throne to Solomon. Is the third king. He is fear of the Lord. The four dreams that influenced Solomon. The first is that in the first Kings chapter 3, God promised, whatever you want, I will do it for you. The second is that first Kings chapter 6, God expressed to Solomon, know about God is using Solomon to build the temple. The third appearance in the dream, 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 2, God said, and God accepted the temple that Solomon built. And the fourth appearance, chapter 11, verse 11, God rebuked Solomon because Solomon did not obey my commandments, so that your throne will be destroyed. Dear congregation, God foretells what things will happen in the future. And may we can receive things that God will want to do for us chapter 17, 13, David can have a recommendation, enjoy the Lord, and then God will give you what your heart desires. So we have the opportunity as awesome one. We put our joy in the Lord. Our joy is in the Lord, and He will give us what our heart desires. And He will keep us firm into the end, blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we would examine people. If we have a safe refuge, is someone whose trust in God's mercy. The second point is that a refuge is someone who trusts in the trust in God's grace. And the third point is trust in God's power when we have a safe refuge. The first point is to rely on the mercy. On verse 6, Solomon said, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day." The congregation, when we talk about God's mercy, we understand that a king that is merciful king, that has concern for the people. A father is the father of mercy when the father is concerned to his children. A shepherd is concerned for his sheep. So we understand mercy is to be concerned to the possession. God is a God of mercy because He is concerned about His creation. But if we can only understand it's only God's own concern and take care of for what we ask, is not enough. In the Bible, God is slow to anger and full of mercy. So, to be merciful is God's attribute. Slow in anger is an attribute of God. And full of mercy, that is also God's attribute. When we talk about whatever action God takes, it represents God's attributes in His action. So, to understand God's mercy, we have to think about Psalm chapter 1, Psalm 136. David in Psalm 136 prays about God's mercy. This becomes a song in David. He's praising God. His love endures forever. When we read, like, "Who by his understanding made the heaven, his love endures forever." It's easy, because God created the heavens. And from there we have rain, and it has the star in the heaven and the light. You spread the earth upon the waters. And so in this environment, there is earth and waters expresses God's love. God made the sun to govern the day. That makes sense. So it's because of the light. Is the light of life that gives light to His creation on earth. The sun and the moon and the star and the night. And because of the moon, we have the seasons. So whatever God created, that's because of His love endures forever. We say amen. It's so easy to understand. But when we read more, And he killed the firstborn of the Egyptian because his love endured for him. There's a question here. Why does God kill when he is God of mercy, the firstborn of the Egyptian? He killed the Egypto and the army was drowned in the Red Sea, and he destroyed the army of Pharaoh. He killed mighty kings. Sihon, the king of the Amorites, was defeated. And also, gave the land to as inheritance to Israel. Why did God kill the people, this Amorite, take it from here and give it to the other? Because love endures unfair forever. Dear congregation, that is so hard to understand. We do not understand why, if mercy maybe sometimes is not merciful at all. Dear congregation, if we just understand mercy is only a concern, that is not the full understanding of God's mercy. God's mercy is in the Bible. Let us know that when God creates something and God has a plan for that creation from the beginning until the end. All of that has been the plan of God. For example, in Genesis chapter 1, the last verse is that God saw everything that he created was good. So God created the empty, the light. God created the earth and all the animals. And even human God created. God saw everything he created was good. He has a plan for his creation, for everything that God created. So that God's mercy expresses that is when God creates everything, even from the beginning until the end. It's all good. That just not only a particular time, a particular period, for a particular need. And chapter 3 of Genesis, we saw that all that God created because of his mercy, Satan has destroyed. So the goodness of God is good in all of the creation. But today, we saw that there are many things that are not good. And that's not because of God. It is because Satan has brought sin into the world. And sin has destroyed the goodness of what God created. And today, we see that there are a lot of fires in the West. In Oregon, we have also fire in here, Colorado. We see earthquake in Japan. And in China, Vietnam, we have floods. And we have the question, there are so many people die. Where is God of mercy? Why did that God let that happen? We have to think about the fact that the world today, there are only disaster in worldview. Does it come from God or deduced to sins of the human race? If God create this world, he put on the heavens in the earth, and he saw that all that is good. And in this creation, would there be any earthquake, any disaster like flooding, or because our understanding has caused the ozone to be thinned out? It's maybe destroyed. The ozone is to protect this earth. Has been destroyed because of humans' knowledge and wisdom. And that causes suffering. God did not create, did not destroy the ozone. It's human that causes the destruction of ozone. and it causes the environment to become like what we have today. Did God create, destroy the Egyptian? Did God plan one day God will kill the Bashan and Amorites? No. When God gave them the land, when God gave them the place to live and the authority to govern, they have a place, they have a particular position, they are blessed. But when God created Israel for himself and all those other people, the Gentiles, trying to destroy the Israel nation. And because of that plan to destroy the chosen people of God, that they receive the punishment. It's not that God hate them, that God destroyed the Gentiles, that attacked the people of Israel. So we see that all the events that are occurring in the history as well as today, our problem is that we have no longer have happiness. We are facing many problems just because we remove God from our lives. From the beginning, the God's mercy created Adam and Eve. He created to be above every other creation. Man will create to have the ability to relate to God. That's the joy. God put man into Eden. He doesn't have to work hard. All the fruits in that garden are there to be consumed. God only had to manage the garden. The man does not have any other pressure. He is the authority to govern the garden. But Satan has caused all those to be lost. So God's mercy still loves human. He gave a salvation plan to be removed from sin, condition. And that is Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sin. And because of Satan's people, we rejected Jesus Christ. The consequence of the suffering that we have is because not of God. Not because God doesn't have mercy, because we rejected God. Solomon has been in favor of God. In verse 6, God said, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David." Solomon can understand God's mercy that God gave David. That is something special. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 18, David recognizes that he has no value before the Lord. David came to God and said, "Dear God, who am I? Who is my family that God has made me a favor?" David is the youngest son in the family, but God has anointed David to become king to govern Israel. He took from as a shepherd David from there to become king, and that is God's mercy. Solomon has recounted that God did to David. "Oh, you have merciful. You have chosen David to become your servant. And the David is faithful before the Lord." God's mercy has expressed in David. But not only that, God's mercy still continue to Solomon. He continued to give mercy to David. And now, you have continued this great kindness to me. Solomon felt that without God's mercy, he would not have this position as king of Israel. From the time Solomon was born, God, Nathan, said, put his name, Jedidiah, that means love by God, Jedidiah. Only when he was born, God has named Solomon Jedidiah, that means love by God. And when Solomon grew, Jedidiah Solomon, that means a peaceful life. All the reigning of, there was no war during the reign of Solomon. During Solomon's reign, it is prepared by God for Solomon. In chapter 2, there were a brother, or same father with different mother, Adonijah. Chapter 2, Adonijah said to Bathsheba, mother of Solomon, told her, you know that it is the throne belonged to me, Adonijah said. All of Israel is helping me to be king, Adonijah said. But now it is belong to my younger brother. It's because God gave it to him. It is, of course, will be mine. Adonijah, he would be the one to be king. But Solomon is a son of a Gentile. It doesn't have the authority, could not be inherited, but the Bible said, this little child Solomon has been born to receive a special blessing. God loved this child, and God gave the reign to Solomon. And Solomon said, this kingdom of Israel that received me, it is forever, not just something over a few years. In chapter 2, verse 12, Solomon and Solomon reign will be established. Who established? Solomon does not fight any war. Solomon does not face any enemy. But the military, everything, all the activities in nation has been established. All the other nation will have to pay taxes, and nobody was fighting with Israel during Solomon's time. And this is a grace by God that's given to Solomon. And Solomon knew that. God loved David. God loves Solomon. And God will continue to love the descendant of David until the reign of David will last forever. In the book of Psalm of 20, verse 12, remind us that the grace of God to whoever has faithful with God, with the nation who has good, blessed is he who has God, is God of what people has been chosen. A kingdom that has God will be blessed. A people who has God as the God of the people will be blessed. Doesn't matter who that people is. So that the American, the Vietnamese, the Chinese, any people, if they have God to be their Lord, then that people will be blessed. In Job, verse chapter 34, verse 29, Job said, when he is quiet, who can criticize? When God hits, who can see him? He take care of each person. When God is concerned, a people or an individual, God will take care. when God hid his face, nobody can find him. So we see that when God expressed his mercy to anyone or to a nation or an individual, God's mercy, when God expresses, that means he established a people, he established individual to be part of God's plan forever. And that is God, when God expresses mercy. And today, we are facing many problems. We blame the communists. Don't blame the Chinese. Don't blame any other people. Don't blame anybody. But blame yourself. We having faith in trust in God. But God says, whatever nation that has God as the Lord, that nation will be blessed. Whoever has God as their Lord, he and she will be blessed. God's mercy has expressed. As it from the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve carried the image of God. And from that, today, each one of us has an image of God in each of us. And that's God's mercy. Each of us has been loved by God, because he created from the womb. Each one of us is a Jedediah before the Lord, because God loved us, each one of us. In sin, Adam has lost all those blessings. But God's mercy, one more time, continues to apply salvation through Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, he will make known he has a plan to be like the image of God. God's mercy plan for each one of us. We are planned, each one of us here, to receive the image of God. Continue to be the image of God. Each one of us here or at the home, we are all Solomon. We are peace, life in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. God's mercy has made you and others in each one of us a Jedediah, meaning God love us. The key verse said, in that God's mercy, he will keep firm to be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, to be firm at the end without blame, when we rely on God's mercy, like Solomon did. The second point, we can have a safe refuge is when we trust in God's grace. In verse 7, Solomon has prayed to the Lord. Now, Lord my God, you have made your serving king in place of my father David. Now you have made your servant king. This position does not belong to Solomon. It's supposed to other brothers. Adonijah is not the urgent. God has put the kingdom in Solomon's time. But you have made your servant king in place of my father David. The joy that the position of Solomon received today, that day, is because of God's grace. Solomon said, but I'm only a child, and I do not know how to carry out my duties. At that time, according to many scholars, Solomon may be about 19 or 20 years old. Is it true that Solomon was just a child? If not a child, then why did Solomon say, I'm only a little child, he said to God. He has a wisdom when he began his reign. What he did in 1 Kings chapter 2 show that he has a wisdom already to plan all things. And here, oh Lord, I am a little child and do not know how to carry out my duty, because before God, Solomon, he knows that he is nothing before God. He humbled himself before God. He is just a zero before God. And when we learn about the lesson in previous week, that David Methuselah belonged to David's enemy, Solomon. But because of grace, David's grace, Mephibosheth has been treated nicely by David because of God and David's grace for him. Who am I that David, king, that you can treat me? I'm just a dog. Mephibosheth felt that I'm a dead dog before you, king. That expresses, he lowered himself down when he received the grace from David. Solomon said, I'm only a child, because he felt that he is nothing before God. Many Christians today couldn't recognize that we are only a child before the Lord. Though the Lord said, if you do not change, like become a child, we could not receive the kingdom of God. Inherit of him. In reality, we do not live like a child. A child means that depend everything on the caretaker. But because of sinful nature and inside urge does not cause us to rely on God. Maybe rely on God a portion of it, a few problems, but the sinful nature, we do not want to be dependent on God. In all things, our marriage, in our job, in our education, in our emotion, many problems in our life, we decided for ourselves rather than depending on the Lord. We are like Abraham, that become a cake that is burned one side and raw one side that could not be consumed. When God chose someone, he depends on the response of that person, not the skill. God does not find someone who is skillful. When someone said, I'm only a child, he knows that he has not the ability to govern. Paul served the Lord successfully in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 5. Paul said, not because of my effort that we achieve anything, that nobody can think that Paul has a skill. Our effort, our strength come from the Lord. Paul, Solomon, no, he is a child, because he could not carry out his duties as a child. In the time of Judges, the Eli was in the temple. His son, Hophni and Phinehas, the one that gave burnt offering to the Lord. But the Bible said, God did not appear to Eli. The word of God is scarce. When Samuel was given to the Lord, dedicated to God, to serve along with Eli, and God appeared to Samuel. God does not have to appear to someone to have authority. but God will appear to someone with a heart. Eli went into the temple. He lies somewhere, he lies in the house. But Samuel lies in front of the curtain that separates the holy from the most holy. Why did Samuel choose that place? Because Samuel feels like he wants to hear the word from God. Someone who fears the Lord, ready to hear the Lord, and God will ready to express and appear to him. When Samuel called, I am only son, and that is something that is pleasing to God. Not only God, I'm only a child. Solomon, and the chosen, the people that I govern, is the great people that I do not have enough wisdom to govern these people. So please God, give me know how to carry out my duties. Your congregation, before Solomon met God here in chapter 2, he has many. Adonijah came to Bathsheba, tell Solomon that I do not want to get the throne. He can keep his throne, but give me, please tell Solomon, let me marry a Gentile. And Bathsheba talked to Solomon about what Adonijah requests. Can he marry that particular Gentile woman? If you ask my brother to carry, why don't you ask a throne for him? Why did Solomon say that? Because Solomon knew that right now Adonijah could not win the throne from Obed, but he is using his marriage to collude with the Gentile. We will cause in the future Adonijah can come to destroy the throne of Solomon. And Solomon said, if Adonijah still there, he will be executed today. And Solomon has commanded to kill Adonijah, because he knew that if Adonijah still exists, it will become a disaster for his throne. He would collude with the other nations to get the throne of Solomon. Solomon denied the prophets of the chief priests there. Abithar is the son of Heli, and Heli has been cursed. The Heli, the descendant of Heli, will not be entered into the temple. And here, Abithar, and because of his support for others, Solomon has removed from the temple because it's part of descending a Heli. And so that fulfilled God's prophecy in chapter 2. Solomon denied the job of Joab, is a servant of David, has been battle with David, but why now he was denied by Solomon? Because he is the same position as Adonijah to try to capture the throne of Solomon. And one day, that particular servant of David will return and destroy the throne of Solomon. So Adonijah has went into the temple. He could not be killed there, but Joab said, if I die in this temple. Not thinking that because of that, nobody can kill him. But Solomon said, he wanted to die there, let him die there. And Joab was killed there. Near congregation. Simeon. Simeon is someone David said to take care of Mephibosheth. to supply all the needs of Mephibosheth. But now, Simeon was called to say, you moved back to Jerusalem before he was at the land that was designated by David for him before. Now, Solomon said, you moved to Jerusalem and stay in one place, could not go in and out. House arrest, sort of, that by Simeon. This is very, and he come obey and move to Jerusalem. And one day, Simeon has been colluded with other kings. Actually, the enemy is a Philistine, enemy of Israel. And because of that collusion, Solomon said, Simeon has been colluding with that king. And because of that, Solomon called Simeon and said, I told you, you're not supposed to move from where you are. Why did you move? You violated my commandment. You must die. And Solomon asked Simeon to be executed. And we see that this event, Solomon has some wisdom with all of his events. Then before the Lord, he said, oh, I'm only a child and don't know how to carry out my duties. And because he did not depend on his own experience, he does not want to rely on his advisor. He did not rely on the military or his power. But Solomon only want to depend on the Lord. I read about a Pakistani New York. Her name is Alisha Sabar. She became professor 3 days before she became 19. She turned 19. And this is one of the youngest of all the professors in that university. At 8 months old, she knew how to read. She finished grade school at 5 years old. At 10 years old, she studied at State University of New York. At 14, she became the youngest woman in the history of U.S. to receive a bachelor's degree. She get master's degree in 2006, and she earned her doctorate in 2007. And in 2008, she became the professor of Kingkuk in Korea. She has been blessed by the Lord, very special. But the Bible says that many Christians today, we do not have that kind of blessing. We have, this is in Hebrews chapter 5, 11. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. Maybe we are part of that new congregation. Remember, when God knew someone, not because he or she knows something, but God only blessed that person. God wants that person to be part of his everlasting plan. When God called each of us, not because we know something or we have some kind of wisdom in us, God called us because he wants to bless us. Now, if we have to be strong and firm to the end and blameless, if we rely on God's grace. base, lean on God's mercy and God's grace. And third, we have to lean on God's power. In verse 9, Solomon said, "So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people," Solomon said, "and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" When Solomon prayed, ask the servant to give your servant a discerning heart to govern the people. In the original, it means, "Please give me a heart to listen, a listening heart." That is a wisdom heart. In Solomon wrote in Proverbs, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." So he asked God, though he has everything in his hand, but Solomon know that he has lacking of wisdom. It's a discerning heart. Or exactly the original, is lacking a heart to hear the word of God. Before God gave the throne to David, he said, only one way to teach Solomon. He didn't teach him how to rule the country, or to strengthen military, or to have a foreign relationship. He taught one thing. You need to hear the word of God. And now Solomon prayed with God, that particular one. "Whatever you ask, I will do." So Solomon said, "Please give yourself a discerning heart to govern your people." When God created the animals, give the instinct to the animals to know how to get their prey to survive. We see the animals in some certain level of wisdom. And there are some wisdom, but for humans, not only we have the wisdom, but we also have a very something special. Knowledge is something God gives to His creation, but wisdom is God gives addition to. So Paul taught us that if you have lack of wisdom, pray to God that He can give you. There are two kinds of wisdom or knowledge. The wisdom of the world and the wisdom come from God. We're born has a knowledge or wisdom of the world. What is that? That means I must be first. I must be number one before everything else. The wisdom of the world is I have, but I need more. The wisdom of the world means has make us a position, give us some kind of advantage, better than others. But the wisdom from God teaches that wisdom to know what the God's will to work and to work. The wisdom from God that we understand our purpose so we can carry out the will of the Lord in our life. Solomon has prayed a discerning heart to hear the word of God and the word. And this is what is pleasing to the Lord. In verse 10, the Lord was pleased that Solomon has asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and not for a long life," God gave more. In chapter verse 12, "I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will be never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be." What we ask, that is pleasing to God. And God will give us more than what we ask. Solomon not only asked for wisdom, but a listening heart. Give your servant a mind to distinguish between right and wrong. He know his position before God. Someone asked, please help me to fulfill the duties that you have given me, Solomon said. Solomon knew that not himself that create his own position, but God has lifted up Solomon and give him his reign, the king of Israel, the chosen people of the Lord. So he asked the Lord, give the ability to right from wrong, so he can be justice. We ask God to know how to do no right from wrong, so that we can live for the will of God. In 1977, there's a person in the suburb of Sacramento. His name is Louis Peter. He has a Cadillac dealer. One person, Mr. Birch, come in. Do you want to sell your dealer to me? Oh, this is a good business. I don't want to sell it. But if you want to pay a higher price. And Louis Peter said, it's just, if you want to pay me $1 million, I will sell this. And after that, the mediator talked to someone. Do you know Bong Novel? He is willing to pay $2 million for your dealership. And who is this person, Bonito? Louis Peter know that he is the chief of the mafia in California. He wants to buy this dealership to be a front, and inside is to buy and sell marijuana. When Peter knew about this, Louis Peter knew about this, he contacted. He thought, I'm a U.S. citizen. I have the responsibility to protect the United States. So he went to the FBI. He said, the mafia is trying to buy my dealership. Do you want me to investigate these people and his follower or not? And the FBI said, they were happy, said, yes. And 1977 to 1977, Louis Peter talked to the media and said, if I want to work directly with Bonavo. So the mediator introduced Bonanno to directly to Louis Peters. And in this relationship, Louis Peter and I have connection with all his followers in all the mafia. So Louis Peters informed the FBI of all these names of the mafia. February 1981. And they capture Bonanno, arrested him in 5 years. And all his followers got 2 years. They asked Peter, Louis Peters, were you afraid? No, I wasn't afraid. I feel proud because I have done something good for the country. If given the opportunity, I will do it again. There is some motivation inside Peters that will cause him to do something this because he knew this is a dangerous job. If there is an opportunity, I would do it again. Dear congregation, end of 1980, little Peter passed away. And we was happy to say. And before he's received a reward to say, dedicate his life to protect the United States from mafia. Dear congregation, today maybe you and I have some personal decision. These personal decisions, not is always bad or not always good. Our personal decision always good or it's not always bad. There are decisions that may be advantageous but does not come from the fear of the Lord. We have to have the wisdom. We saw that Solomon in verse 1. Solomon married the daughter of Pharaoh king. And because of this, he is in alliance with the great country, but this violated the law of the Lord. This is maybe an advantage, but does not express his fear of the Lord. And because of that, it becomes a bad consequence in the future. And Solomon continued to marry the Gentiles. In chapter 11, Solomon was true. God said, you are not fear, you are not a fear of me. In chapter 11, verse 4 said, all these Gentile wives and Solomon turned away from the Lord and his kingdom began to disintegrate. And so, dear congregation, we need the guidance of God and a heart to hear the Lord. Alone, we can distinguish the right from wrong by the guidance of God. Maybe the traditional teaching give us, and maybe the culture is leading us astray, cause many of us to be doing the wrong thing, to be mistaken, and we could not carry out a position as a Christian. And so the word of God is a metric for us to measure of how action. We can be firm until the end and be blameless if we rely on the power of the Lord. The key verse is the promise from the Lord. One more time reminding us that to the grace of God. He, God, will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing that we do, it's Him, it's God that keep us firm until the end and be made blameless. May God bless each one of us each day. Rely on God's grace. Rely on God's mercy. And rely on God's power to live according to God's will. May God bless each one of you. May God bless you at home. Let's all stand for the closing prayer. Dear our Heavenly Father, we praise you, Lord, because you expressed merciful on earth to give us position as children of God. We thank you, Lord, because in this grave, you will want to use each one of us in your everlasting plan. And we praise you and thank you because we do not have the ability. You can help us, strengthen us to live in a position that you have given us in. Please give us, have a mind, a wisdom to heart, a heart that willing to hear the word of God so that we can fulfill the responsibility that you have given us. None of us can use our own wisdom to face with the power of darkness to face the plan of Satan and to face all the burdens and that we are carrying. May we have a mind like Solomon in the first days of his reign to pray for God's mercy, for guiding us. May God's grace continue to guide us and the strength from your power to give us strength each day to move forward. We thank you for your reminding through this message. May your words enter into our heart. May your word become our truth to guide our life. Please bless us, each one of us and your church will be a victorious life. We thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.